What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Let's get the day off right and start this show.
Don't miss your free chance to tune into Benzinga's very own bootcamp series on November 20th. If you're looking to dive into new concepts and grow your account, this one's for you.
Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep.
Went with the old intro today, Joel. Still working out the kinks in the new one, but we'll bring it back. But maybe we'll go back and forth every other day. We'll do a different intro. Good morning, Joel. Before we bring up the charts, it appears we're going to be a man down today, but he has a good excuse. Did you see his excuse? Joel.
He told me his excuse.
This is his excuse. Our friend Dennis has no power because apparently in Canada you get a couple inches of snow and the infrastructure can't handle it. This is a picture of Dennis's backyard that he sent me.
Oh, he said, oh, nice, nice. And
he has no electricity, so I doubt he'll be on the show today. I don't even know. I mean, he's not trading, clearly.
I hope he's hedged today.
I hope for his, but yes, the lesson here is in Canada, they can't handle their snow. Exactly, Mateo. Sell Canadian energy. That's exactly right. And Bill Big D, I also thought Dennis would have a backup generator, but he's living in a rental property, so he does not. And that is where we stand here. So no Generac for Dennis today. Maybe he'll learn his lesson and get one for the actual winter coming up here. But Dennis has no power, which means no Dennis on the show. So that being said,
he said 8:30. They, you know how you call in and and they give you an estimate. So he said 8:30. Let's keep our fingers crossed. If not, he's going to be on the phone with his broker, putting in a lot of orders. That should be a sight to see. Unfortunately, well, let's hope he gets it back. Triple D, we're here for you if you can join us. But we still got a lot to cover, right?
We do. We got a lot going on, Joel. We got. I want to talk EV stocks. We have retail earnings. We have retail sales at 8:30. I didn't even mention yesterday. You guys know how I like to keep an eye on the 13Fs, just because I think it's interesting and see what the hedge funds are doing. And I didn't even realize that yesterday was 13F day, so we do have some stocks that Warren Buffett sold and bought last quarter. If anyone cares about that, we can talk about that. But let's get to the overnight markets here, Joel, because we had a bit of a, shall we say, flash crash in Bitcoin last night.
Yeah. We'll get to the Bitcoin futures here in 1 second. Let's just recap. The S&P's no good numbers stopping for me today, either on the upside or downside. Pre-market high, 46.87. I got nothing there for you. 46.70, 75, that's your low. I really don't have anything for you there. I do have this area of interest, and it's just a couple points below where we're trading, and that's let's just call it 46.7850. That's your area of your three of your last five closes. So that's a consolidation area on a closing basis, but we've traded through it so many times, it's just kind of like a machete. So we'll have to see whether we can get a bid there, get back up, test that 4,700, or we got some more work to do on the downside this week. Crude's not having a bad day. That's up 46 cents. Actually, a quiet range today so far. Gold making its way up to maybe a true inflation hedge, up 920 at 1875.80, trying to knock on the door at 1900. Silver's having even a better day on a percentage basis. That's up 29 cents at 2539. Bitcoin, you know, it took a while to hear something out of China, right? We didn't hear anything on the individual stocks, but they come out against currency mining. But we know what happened last time. That created a big buying opportunity. Bitcoin futures down $3,615 at $60,300. Ethereum, it's falling a little bit more on a percentage basis, down nearly 6%, $318.75. That's at $42,47.50 for the Ethereum futures. So cryptocurrency is under pressure, thanks to China.
Yeah, but the buy the dip already happened, though, right?
It went to 58.5. Yeah. Nothing out there at that area. Well, that's looking. Let's go to the Bitcoin futures and see exactly what we have here. It found support right here in this area, right around 58K, right? 58K again, just under 58 here. So if that 58.5 holds up, that'd be a good low. But really, beneath that, then you got to start thinking about 55. But the bulls are trying to get that 60 close, 60 handle close. It's done that a lot of sessions in a row. So if we close under 60, maybe some more work to do on the downside there. Haven't closed below 60K in the futures since October 14th. And that close was 58,545. Boy, so many numbers with that. But not a good day for cryptocurrencies, but off the lows of the session.
Yeah, it's to a point where like I didn't even look for a reason why Bitcoin was down. I just assumed that. I mean, this is what Bitcoin does. It goes down. It goes up. It moves crazy volatile. It wasn't until Joel came on that I even knew that China said something, because I don't even think it. This is what it does. You got to know that. What I always try to the way I think about this is Bitcoin is a short. Holding Bitcoin is a short-term risk. Not holding it is a long-term risk. But ooh, this is just what it does.
Wow!
I didn't come up with that, by the way. So let's start with from one speculative, highly volatile asset to another. Bitcoin to EV stocks, Joel. We are
EV mania.
We're back in an EV mania. It's crazy to say, and it's not even necessarily Tesla, right? It's all the other ones. It's Lucid Motors, LCID. They had earnings last night, and the biggest thing that I took away from that was they guided, or they confirmed, I guess, their prior guidance that they are on target to produce 20,000 cars next year, which is like an afternoon, right, for any old automaker. But 20,000 cars is what Lucid says they're going to produce next year. They did say that they have more orders now than they previously did, so that's something. 13,000 reservations. You got Lucid, you got Rivian, which I don't think it's had a down day yet, Joel. It's EV stuff. Nobody, this is what I was talking about with Michigan a half hour ago. Nobody wants to miss the next Tesla. Everybody looks at Tesla, and they all go way to the left, and they look at 2014, 2013, 2012, Tesla at 30, Tesla at 20, Tesla at 50, 60. I don't want to be the one to miss it. I'm going to buy this, and that's what's happening here. And we talk about it every day. Is it going to be Lucid? Is it going to be Fisker? Is it going to be Rivian? Obviously, no one knows, but that's what's happening here. You have this mentality where nobody wants to miss the next gravy train.
You can't look at the numbers, you can't look at the production, you can't look at the valuations. All you can do is you can look at the chart. And from what I'm seeing here early this morning, 48. Someone has a piece to work out at 48. You hit that after hours, had a little, you know, a wild first few minutes, but you're at 47.20. Your buyers are congregating at 46.50 for whatever reason. And you punch through 48, then you start to get into this bar here. This February bar, I'm not even going to drill down on the dailies. You can do that on yourself to find some relevant levels. Old-time high, 64.86. But first things first, folks, keep an eye on 48 bucks today. That's your level, LCID. Potential with a capital P, potential resistance in LCID.
And what's interesting is it's not even like Tesla. Like we're in this EV mania again, but it's not even like Tesla. Obviously, we've talked about this for the past few days, has come off its highs, and Elon sold a little more.
Want to go to Elon?
Sold about 950 mil worth of stock, so that brings his total down to up to about $7.8 billion of net sales in the last week plus. But it's just so funny to see all these EV stocks catch fire, and it's not Tesla. They're all like trying to play catch up, but it ain't Tesla.
You got some overhang, right? Yeah. I mean, you actually have a seller out there. Did we drill down on the math and see where he's at on that 10% reduction?
He's at 7.8, and he would need to sell what did we say the 10% was like? He would have to sell
17,
I think. Yeah, 16, yeah, 17 somewhere or so. He's got a ways to go if that's what he's doing. But
yeah. He's over halfway though, right? Isn't he?
I haven't been keeping up
on the daily math. That Dennis gave you a decent level yesterday. It just depends. Like if you're trading a stock like Tesla, you got to either, you know, you throw your bid out there at 987.31 and you're kind of scratching your head when it goes to 978.60. And this is something that we're going to talk about at the event on December 11th. Now, if you had caught that 987.31 on the way back up, then it's a heatless trade. We all know we like heatless trades. Got a nice bounce over 1030. Boy, it's been down, I think, six out of the last seven sessions. So still some pressure here. Now you got two lows in the same area. 978.60 was the low from yesterday. Still haven't settled. I think if it settles in three digits, I think you might see a little bit more downside. But two lows in the same area, protecting that 950 low and that gap area as well.
And then who made a good point? Tom Vigor made a good point in chat that Rivian has options open today.
Starting to trade today.
It's optionable, baby. Let's go all buy some out of the money calls expiring.
The first day, I mean, this thing is just ripping.
Yeah.
I can't even give anything. I mean, it's even trying to get the highs of the pre-market session, 162.88. And they're throwing some volume around in this too.
It had a down day only if you go by the opening price, not the IPO price on day one.
Correct.
If you go by the IPO price, we're 4 for 4 so far. So I mean, pretty great run. I got this one wrong. Anyway, I don't know. It just every day with these EV stocks is crazier and crazier. So I thought we'd start the show with that, but I want to move on here to earnings here because we have a couple big ones today and a relevant economic data point at 8:30. So we'll start with Walmart here. Because we have Walmart earnings, always an important indicator because they are the second largest retailer in the country behind Amazon, right? So Walmart's numbers can a lot of times be extrapolated to the rest of the sector and what is to come. Anyway, Walmart's numbers are pretty good, right? Their EPS beat $1.45 versus $1.40. Their sales beat $140.5 versus $135 billion. They raised their EPS guidance for the year by about 20 cents. They said their inventory, this is probably good. Normally this would be bad, but this is probably good. Inventory up 11% year over year ahead of the holiday season. That's probably a good thing in light of, supply chain concerns. On top of all that, their e-commerce growth, the U.S. e-commerce sales rose 8%, which interestingly enough was actually not as much as their brick and mortar sales grew. And also not as much as Amazon sales grew. So it did come in above estimates, but it wasn't quite as hot as Amazon's number. And it was interesting to see that the brick and mortar sales actually grew more than their e-commerce sales did, which I guess makes some sense. But anyway, all that comes out to what, Joel?
All that comes out is to a measly 27 cent gain right now, 147.18. You have to be a disappointed Walmart shareholder. But we talked about this on the At the Close show. I mean, you had a run from 135 to 152. Walmart moving 17 points in a month and a half. Very, very unusual move. Then you had some profit takers ahead of the report, and a lot of people are scratching their head and say, why didn't I sell that at 150 on the way up? And we talked about that 150, that psychological level. Well, it did a little bit better than 150 on the initial pop. It went to 150.99 and now back at 147.50. So disappointing. Now you just have to do a reset. You have to look at the rate. You just go back to the daily highs. I don't think you're going to get another shot at 150 today. Of course, anything can happen. 148.45, that's your high from yesterday. That's a buck away. After all those numbers and all that good news, now you got to rally a buck to get to the previous day's high. And then you're spotting a pair of highs at 149. If you can even get through that 148.5 level. I'm coming back on the downside. I mean, yeah, you did spike to 45.5, but you don't want to lose that low from yesterday. I mean, to get back to that, the old Goldman gap up day, you got a gap in here between 142 and 144. So important, man, stay green and stay above the previous day's low. Walmart, I guess they're going to just penalize them for that one metric that they missed out on. But overhead supply rules the day in shares of Walmart here, only trading up 44 cents, 147.35.
Yeah, I just can't think of a time where a company would brag about inventories being up.
In this environment, right?
But in this environment, that's what you want, right? You want more stuff in your stores, which I guess makes some sense. Likewise, Home Depot, right? They also beat on their EPS, $3.92 versus a $3.40 estimate. Sales came in higher as well, 36.8 versus a $34.5 billion estimate. So they beat on the EPS, they beat on their sales and their comps. They crushed it. Their same store sales rose a little over 6% in Q3 versus a 2% estimate. So, and in the U.S. Specifically, comps rose 5.5% versus a 1% estimate. So they blew away the year-over-year same store sales / comparable sales numbers, which basically just measures the amount of sales at all stores that have been open for more than 1 year. That's what comps means, or same store sales. It's the same metric. So they blew away that number. And I guess people are stocking up, Joel.
Coming at Home Depot. I mean, going to buy those snow shovels and salt and everything, loading up. I'm going to throw out the high, throw out the low, 367, and then just under 377. When I look at this upper right chart here, I mean, how can you not think about 375? I mean, you are trading up 292 at 374. But look at all those pesky tops there. Going back to the end of October. So that's still a good number, up 292. After you hit that 77 high, I mean, traders, investors, whatever, funds, step down to 376. So been hanging out here for a long time. Your major support is down at 365. So I wouldn't be really worried about any major decline here. But big day for Home Depot. Can we finally clear that 375 and not only clear it, but close above it? Be careful if you get that old get through the 375 to go to like 375.67. And then come back down hard through that area. But that's as good a resistance level as you could get just based on the daily charts.
This would seem to also, in a way, couldn't it be a play on the housing market? Because if people don't want to buy new homes, they'd rather just stay and renovate the home they've got, right? Home Depot and Lowe's. Maybe
the whole pandemic, right? You know, accelerated that mentality. So yeah. You know, people take it. I mean, I've done a lot more things, you know, like around the house, not personally.
Sure,
but
sure. Well, not yet.
Yeah, I want to get it done right. Exactly. Sure. So, what's Lowe's doing now? Lowe's always had a mind of its own. This is trading up 218. You got a pair of pesky highs here at, let's just call it 239 if you get a look at that. Now, Lowe's reports tomorrow. Is that correct?
Let me double check it. What's today, Tuesday? Yeah, tomorrow morning.
Yeah, so, you know, the high bar, low bar, I think you got a pretty high bar to clear here.
You do. Lowe's. Especially because of that daily chart, right? You do have a high bar. But at the same time, Home Depot also had a high bar.
Right, and they just set it a little bit higher on you by actually coming out with a good report. Full disclosure, I've owned Lowe's for a long time. Probably should sell it so I don't get Pelotoned, but since we don't sell things, we'll just have to wait someday when this is at 150, and I'll say, why didn't I sell it when it was at 240? But anyways, that's a look at Lowe's. They report tomorrow. Home Depot, your leader for today.
To those in the chat who tuned in late, yes, Triple D is alive and well, but he has no power. So not only can he not join the show, but he can't even trade right now. So hopefully we can get it back within the hour. But
he can't trade. He can't eat. He can't. He doesn't have heat.
He can't eat? What?
Well, I mean, he can eat. I mean, he can eat something cold. He's not having anything warm, right?
I'm sure he has like a gas.
I don't know what he has. We'll get to details. Okay, so he can't use the toaster. How's that? Is that good enough?
Yeah, the takeaway here is everyone is very upset that Dennis doesn't have a generator. We all assumed he did, and he doesn't. So that's the takeaway.
He doesn't. He's in a rental. Hey, we got a generator. I'm telling you, man, I'm going to get that thing tuned up again because I actually do it once a year anyways. How's Generac doing? I know people saying, Dennis should get a Generac. Boy, that thing's taking a haircut off earnings. Have we found a bottom here yet? Oh, look at that. If you're a gap fill trader, Generac, you did get that gap fill. $434.77. That was your high end of 14th. You've done a little bit better than that. You went to 430. So you better catch a bid in here, or else we got some more downside. Maybe a look at 420. That's Generac. Big run to forever. Big run in 20, big run in 21 so far.
Yeah. We're going to have Frank Holmes from Hive Blockchain on. It's a shame. I hope Dennis can join.
Dennis loves
Frank.
Him.
So we'll have Frank on at 8:35 and we'll have a retail sales print at 8:30. Between now and then, though, there are a few other things I want to discuss. One of them being, I'm sorry to do this to you, Joel, but Peloton is doing a stock offering. They announced it, I believe, this morning. Let me confirm the timing. They announced a $1 billion offering either this morning of common
stock. Time to do it. Great, really very excellent time to do an offering.
Well, I mean,
there's very few stocks.
I don't know.
There's very few charts that are hard for me to look at.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
This is the hardest chart for me to look
at. I'm sorry. And then I still mentioned here, if it'll make you feel better, I guess SoFi is doing an offering as well. So that's me. But anyway, I don't know.
Offering here. I mean, who are their bankers, man? They should have jammed stock down people's throat. I don't know. Maybe there's a washout bottom here at 43.64. We've got a $3 bounce off that. I don't even
Wait. I just want to. Joel is not eating crow on this one. Joel wanted to sell Peloton a year ago, right? This one's not on Joel. This is not Joel's decision to not sell.
You know what the thing that really bothers me?
What?
Is that I don't think I've ever done this on a stock in our portfolio. Because we bought it good. I don't even want to think about where we bought it. And then she nibbled a little bit more, and it was up in this area. And I said, that's fine, you know, but let's pick a level where if it loses that level, we're completely out of that position. Yeah. And she looked at the chart, and, you know, and it was – I don't even know when this was. And she said 130 is where we're going to get out. Okay, I can tell you because this is right when it was – and had a report, and it came down hard. I said, okay. It was right in this area. I don't know what she saw at 130 or whatever, but this was it was right around earnings here, and boom, it took out 130, and it did it one day, and it blinked, and never got a shot at it, and man, I would have had a sell stop in this day. I would have been out of it, but it is what it is. It's not a huge position in the portfolio, but I think overall, in all of our years of investing,
it's the biggest.
I'd almost swear if Easy Mike wasn't listening with his kids.
All right,
like you do. Everyone has one of those in their portfolio.
Oh yeah, some of us have more than one, Joel. Okay. I do want to briefly mention Buffett and his 13F. I know a lot of people might scoff at, oh, 13Fs, this information is months old. Who cares? Well, Berkshire Hathaway's 13F is the only one that really has the power to move stocks. And you're seeing it again this morning because the stocks that Buffett bought last quarter are higher and stocks that he sold last quarter are lower. And he's really the only one that has that effect. You can look at Merck, which is down today. Buffett exited, or Berkshire Hathaway exited their Merck position last quarter. So MRK trading down off that. They trimmed their AbbVie, and ABBV is also down this morning. They trimmed their Bristol-Myers, which is also down. Actually, no, I don't. I may be indicated down, but I hasn't really traded this morning. And they trimmed their Marsh & McLennan, MMC.
Oh, wow. The old insurer. I haven't looked at that.
But they added to their position in Chevron, which is trading higher.
He's been in and out. He bought some, he sold some, then he bought some again on this one. I remember that. He's been a little wishy-washy on this, but go ahead.
Added to their position. Wait, what did I just say? Chevron added to their, or took a new stake, sorry, in Royalty Pharma, ticker RPRX is that one. And you see the pop after hours. That was 100% him. And took a new position in FND, Floor and Decor Holdings, not one that I'm familiar with, but FND up this morning and last night.
Wow, 9 sticks. That's a big move. And that this has come, this one, I'm looking at all the charts here and I'm trying to find, this is a thin one. It's up on just 1,000 shares. I don't know. Does anybody trade this? He went from 140. He had about a 20. This 136 area. A lot of people are getting their money back at 136, 137. You're trading 139. I'd be careful. And folks, they didn't. They bought it over the last 90 days. Okay.
Not even. It's actually more than that, right?
It's
the last 135 days.
Yeah. So, I mean, Warren ain't buying here. He's not buying up 9 sticks. Huh. You know, you go back on the chart, that's what he was buying. So that's something that people gotta keep in mind. Did he do anything with Kroger? Someone's asking.
Oh, good question. Good question. I think he, didn't he, he added to his Kroger last time around, didn't he? Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure. I thought I remember that. Let me check.
Our Kroger traders. Look at that.
I don't think he did anything with Kroger this time around. No, I don't think he did. I remember him boosting it. I thought he boosted it last time, right? I'm pretty sure I remember that. But no, I don't think so. And just to clarify, like, this happens every single quarter. This is not like Berkshire Hathaway trying to like copy like ARK Invest's active style. This is what they do. I mean, they're a hedge fund. This is what all the hedge funds do, right? They're constantly buying and selling, but the information is so delayed, right? There's a 45-day window when they're required to report their trades. So that window closed yesterday, which is why we're talking about this today. But yeah, for all we know, Berkshire Hathaway could have bought. I don't know, Floor and Decor, you know, 4 months ago. They could have bought it 4 months ago. We don't know. So
Walmart goes red here, down 11 cents, being punished for a good report. And Lucid still ripping, just took out 48. Now working at 49. Rivian up 10%, 164, 74.
Can't go down, Joel. It can't go down.
Oh, it can't go down. Yeah, I'll have it go down. I'll buy it. You know what? Now that this Lucid, now it's making me mad. Now I gotta go look at the dailies for a second. What do we got? A minute before the number. We got a minute before the number. Real quick. Yeah,
you're right. Good point. It's 8:29. We're gonna get.
I'm not gonna do it. Forget it.
I don't know if retail sales is gonna. It's not gonna move the market. But it is.
You don't think so?
No, I don't think so. It's not typically that kind of an indicator, but it is relevant within the context of Walmart earnings this morning. Because, you know, the whole thing is, look.
Well, Dennis doesn't have to worry about getting picked off here.
No.
That's one thing.
No, he doesn't. But, like,
hope he didn't leave. You know what? I hope he didn't leave any orders out there. We got the pop. What's the pop? What's the good news? Is it out yet? Must be a little bit of good news. Or is someone jumping the gun up three points? 46-82.
It looks like it wasn't a bad number. An increase of 1.7% month over month.
Muted. Nothing. Nothing.
This is a 1.5% estimate. So a little higher. But again, the point is, like, there are all these economic data points, and it's like there's broadly speaking two categories, right? There's like survey data, there's like sentiment data. And there's wallet data, right? There's like, how are you feeling versus what are you doing, right? And like Michigan consumer sentiment, for example, right, is trending down. A lot of like sentiment surveys are trending down, but that's less relevant to me than like what are they actually like doing with their money. It's like, do as I say or do as I do, not as I say, right? So what this says, we had a little bit of a higher number than estimates. You know, the retail,
they don't like this, Mark. This market,
the retail
is
consumer,
not,
is strong.
I don't like
the retail
this.
Consumer is strong. The retail consumer is spending money. That's what this says. They're spending money, and that should be reflected in the sentiment in across the retail sector, whether it's Home Depot, Walmart, or Macy's, whomever. Right, the retail is strong. The retail consumer is strong.
We got a little pop, a little drop. Still, the market has memory. The market has three closes right here at this 46.79 area. We got a little bit of pop. Those are pretty good numbers. Still, retail sales. It's been the inflation numbers, right? They've been moving the market. No one really cares about the unemployment anymore.
No,
but tight range here. We got into the 46.83 and a quarter, back down to 46.78. But I think we were just, I like to see where we were at 8:30 when we started this. When we were at 8:30, we were at 81.50. Not a lot of volume traded in the S&Ps. A lot of cat and mouse here, just waiting for more liquidity to come in at 9:30. So good numbers. Not import prices are up a little bit. Nothing, not much on the retail sales front.
We always talk about how the market's all about narratives and stories, and someone argue against this narrative for me. Argue against the narrative that it's going to be the biggest holiday shopping season ever by a mile. Is this not going to be just like the most epic shopping season? You have a confluence of factors. You have people flush with cash. You have people wanting to, spend money on things after making it through a pandemic. You have, maybe they're spending even earlier because they want to get ahead of the supply chain problems, and you have concerns about that, so they're wanting to get their stuff now. I just feel like this is going to be just an epic, epic, epic shopping season. People wanted to go back in stores. I don't know. Someone argue against that for me.
It's hard to argue. I mean, it's just, you know, is it already factored in, you know, into these stocks? I mean,
the thing is inflation, right? Inflation's the worry. You're saying that everyone's strapped with cash, but if that cash keeps going down and down in value, you're seeing consumers, and you mentioned it, the sentiment from surveys are pointing not that confident in their purchasing power. They're actually pointing towards that they're seeing and starting to kind of cut expenses and worrying about their income. So I think, you know, you are pointing towards pent-up demand.
Mitch, I think you're on mute. I think you're on mute. Sorry. But the chat is – some people agree with me, some people don't, and that's great, right? I, you know, uh, I would, yeah. I mean, look, there's no consensus.
Chat's going absolutely crazy here. Wait, oh my gosh. Do we have the most active chat on YouTube? Look at this thing. I can't even read all these things.
It's because they couldn't hear Mitch. That's what he was
talking. They get hot when they can't hear me.
Mitch, can we hear you now?
Yeah, they can now.
Okay.
I just had to fix it. Sometimes my mic picks up on desktop. Sometimes it doesn't. But I was just talking about inflation and how the sentiments surveys that Spencer's talking about have been pointing towards downside. Consumers worried about their purchasing power.
Yeah.
And I think it is starting to play into factors, especially when the consumer goes to, let's say, like the grocery stores. I think that's where you see inflation hit you the most. When you go to actually buy your everyday goods, like even if it's, let's say, chicken, beef, fish, you'll see massive, massive inflation right now.
Yeah. I just like
the turkeys, right? The turkeys are expensive this year.
We've done the article. There is Thanksgiving inflation. That's definitely true. Definitely true. So, obviously, these are broad generalizations. Not everybody is flush with cash. Not everybody wants to spend money on or wants to go to the store or whatever. But I don't know. I'm getting, and I could be wrong. I'm not married to this idea.
It's just whether it's already baked into the market. I mean, these stocks have had some tremendous runs. So is the market already discounting a discounting mechanism, right? It looks into the future and it predicts the future. These stocks have had some good runs. So we'll see what the expectations are. I mean, there's no doubt people want to get out, spend some coin. What Mitch is alluding to is that it's not going to go as far as it did last year, right? With the inflation.
Market's forward-looking in theory. Anyway, let's bring on our guest here. This is going to be a fun one. Frank Holmes, who has been a longtime guest on our show. He's the CEO, CIO of U.S. Global Investors. He's also the chairman of Hive Blockchain. We'll talk about that, and we'll talk about a new ETF that they are launching, or they have just launched, actually. So let's bring Frank Holmes on the show. Frank, good morning.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere, visit Hyland.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
How are we doing
today?
Good
morning from New York City.
Good morning from New York. Welcome. How's the weather over there? It's freaking cold here.
Super frio. Very cold.
Okay. Good to know we're not the only ones. So, Frank, before we get to the new ETF, I just want to ask you about Hive. What was the deal the other day? Like, you guys were halted up in Canada, but not in the U.S. or vice versa?
Well, it was getting a guaranteed funding and making sure it was done properly. And what was so exciting about that was, for the first time, a major Canadian bank came into the blockchain crypto space. BMO, Bank of Montreal, was part of the syndicate, which is the first ever in Canada. So that was a big positive. And Stifel Canada, was owned by Stifel US, did the financing. And they had over 125 shareholders come into it, and it was 300% oversubscribed. There was 325 million wanted.
And this was a private placement in Canada?
Yes.
Okay.
It was faster. You know, it was just their paper, their stock is locked up for 45 days. And so with that, it was the first time a deal was done at a penny above the stock price. Would it close not the day before.
So what is the intentions that you have with this funding? You're just going to more mining facilities?
Well, exactly, Spencer. It's every time you want to get an exahash, that's the magic number. And with today's difficulty in mining Bitcoin, that's about 6 Bitcoins a day. And that's going to cost between 60 and 80 million US dollars to build out, buy the equipment to be able to mine 6 Bitcoins a day. And so that's almost $400,000 a day of revenue that would come from that type of funding. And we want to maintain our momentum. We've been one of the few companies that every month we announce buying some more equipment to build out and then building our facility in New Brunswick right beside the state of Maine, which is we'll finish here shortly at 50 megawatts. And then next year by March, we'll take it up to 70. I mean, we're doing about close to $300 million in revenue, almost $1 million a day. And we think that this time next year, we could be up to $2 million a day in revenue and high gross margins.
But when you have a situation like this where you're announcing some funding, and so whose responsibility is it? Because you guys were halted on the NASDAQ, but you're not halted in Canada, right? So
no, you halted in Canada. You're halted in both.
You were halted in both?
Yeah, okay. Halted in both.
Okay.
And there was lots of discussion of a takeover, merger, et cetera, but that didn't happen. That was not what rumors immediately started because we did it in the morning and we wanted to make sure we had all the legal agreements signed properly. And so we halted in the morning.
Okay. Just making sure. But generally speaking, it's up to the you to talk to the exchange about that or them to talk to you about that?
Yeah, no, usually you try to do it at 4 o'clock in the day, the previous day. But the terms weren't in the best interest of Hive shareholders. So I kept, negotiating and renegotiating what were the best terms for, I thought, sure, the Hive shareholder. Most of these other financings are done at discounts to the stock price. 15% discounts plus a 6% commission and a half warrant that goes to the institution. So that was something we just were not going to do. We did it at a penny above the previous day's closing price. But it was, to me, it was very positive and constructive. And then we had the crypto sort of unwind and some people try to short to get the warrant, which is a normal course. So that's what they want to do. But what we've done today is more important. I mean, we are the most profitable crypto mining company, and we don't get credit for Ethereum. I was noticing some comp sheets, and all they were looking at was our Bitcoin mining. Our Ethereum is like, you'll get no value for that. But over the past 12 months, Ethereum is up 3 times more than Bitcoin. So our holding of Ethereum has been great for shareholders. So I think what we've shown here at this end of September is just robust earnings that came not just from hodling, but from operations.
How big's the facility that you do this in?
Well, we have 30 megawatts in Montreal, Quebec. We have 30 megawatts in New Brunswick, going to 50, then going to 70. We have 10 megawatts in Boden, going to 20 megawatts, and we have another 5 megawatts in Sweden, and we have just under 5 megawatts in Iceland. All green. We're the only pure green and clean mining company.
Frank, the chat wants to know what kinds of miners you have and that you're going to buy.
No, sorry, I didn't hear the question properly.
Question from the chat about what models, like what chips you're using in your miners, what your models, what kind of miners you have, and in terms of NVIDIA, AMD, and then what you're buying.
That's a good question. What we've not done is rely on one supplier. So we have Bitmain S19s, we have the MicroBT 30s, we have Canons. So we have a whole spectrum of them. But when it comes to mining Ethereum, we spent a lot of money upgrading our memory chips on the 580 from AMD. But what we recently announced was a over a $50 million acquisition of NVIDIA, highest quality chips in the world. The A40, so the best gaming chip in the world, 6,000, 5,000, and 4,000s, which will allow us to go into high-performance computing, which is extremely profitable. If you take a look at the margins that Amazon makes for charging you that in the cloud, it's immense. So we think that that is going to be another segue in our cycle to build this company.
All right, Frank, I want to pivot here. I want to ask you about this new ETF, the U.S. Global Sea to Sky Cargo. The timing is interesting, right? You're talking about transportation and logistics and shipping in the midst of a global supply chain, whatever the heck this is we're in right now. What will be in this ETF?
It'll be 80% shipping. And it'll be 20% cargo airlines. And what we learned from Jet's ETF was that the best performing during the crisis were the cargo airlines. And then there was a scramble by all the other major airlines to start basically distributing, moving cargo because there's no passengers to move. And so what we've seen is that there's been so many new UN and environmental policies that are really creating epic imbalances and disruption for all supplies around the world, such as the quality of the oil that's allowed to go into a tank, a shipping tank, basically wiped out a big portion of those container ships that are allowed to move around the world. They can't go into certain ports. And then you have the other disruption, which we're hearing now about energy in Europe. So I think that we're going to continue to see it's going to be very volatile. This particular index moves with the resources and big heavy products like Samsung refrigerators and stoves, if you want to ship them over. And it also, we know this from the buying the chips. So we're sending these ASIC chips and these other type of GPU chips from China over to North America and to Europe. The cost is up tenfold for shipping a kilogram of weight on an airplane. And but if we want them right away, that's our cost. So I would say our shipping costs have gone up $1 million over the past year. We don't see that slowing down.
Well, that was my next question, why not? Like, in theory, I can't understand why it costs to go up now. But once things normalize, right, wouldn't they go
down? When it normalizes, but there's so much on climate change policies and carbon footprint that it's going to be more disruptive. You're not going to come back to the previous base. You're just not. And right now, we're coming with this because we also think we're going through this natural correction because it highly correlates with PMI. And I write about this every month. The Purchasing Manufacturers Index is a great leading indicator, like the stock market for the economy. But the global PMI, Purchasing Manufacturers Index, is highly correlated to government policies and commodity demand. Manufacturing demand. And this had a massive surge going into the spring. It's cooled off. We see some of the Baltic shipping have come off here, but we think it's a great pullback, but it's going to be very volatile, just like all global trade is.
Frank, what is the ticker on this? Has it started trading yet?
SEA,
has it started trading yet? I don't see it.
Not yet.
Okay. So, but it will be. Do you have an estimate for that or no?
Yep. And it'll be a way to play commodities. Copper is a big, important metal for mining, particularly for the whole climate change. And you're going to see the shortages of copper out of Chile. The only place of fresh copper coming out of is out of the Congo. And so we see that there's going to be continuous pressure and all these policies, the trillions of dollars in the U.S., trillions of dollars already approved in Europe for climate change spending. It's going to be, you're going to see the shipping is going to be a big beneficiary of this.
You know when it will open, when the fund will open for trading?
Yeah, it'll be next week.
Next week? Okay. All right. Hey, a new play on shipping and global transportation. I'm here for it. I'm very curious to see if your thesis is right. The chat seems to agree with you. Some people do, at least, that nothing is really going to go back to normal. So if that's the case, this would be a good play. Frank Holmes, as I mentioned, is the CEO, CIO of U.S. Global Investors and their new ETF. And he's also the executive
chairman. Can we ask him about the Jets and the air? I mean, come on, we're coming out of this pandemic, Frank,
Wheels up.
He always says wheels up.
The big date was November the 8th when the U.S. opened up Europeans to be able to fly in. Personally, it may be anecdotal, but about 2 months ago, I flew to Sweden. Every flight, every seat was packed going over, half empty coming home. 3 weeks ago, I was in Dubai. Same thing. Every seat from Houston nonstop to Dubai was sold out. It was half empty coming home. Why? Because anyone coming from Europe had to go, unless they were Americans, but any EU passport, had to spend 2 weeks in Canada or Mexico City before they could be allowed in the U.S. That's gone. Driving from Canada across the border between Detroit and Windsor, all that's opened up November the 8th. And we saw $300 million of new money coming into Jets, and Jets is up 10% for the past 4 weeks.
And what about business travel? I mean, do you think, you know, when's that going to return to normal? And will it ever get back to the capacity that it was before? I mean, you know, people are finding out there's other efficient ways to do it. What's your outlook for business travel back to normal?
But look at the bounce, Joel. Every day the TSA publishes is free for everyone. And they started that right at the bottom of COVID. And what's fascinating is that we went from 2.7 million people a day cleared by TSA down to 90,000. And as it's climbed up, it's been highly correlated to more and more people getting vaccinated. And as it's climbed up to 2 million people, the big last leg was the Europeans and Asians to be able to freely fly into America. So it starts going over 2 million. You're going to see pricing power at the airlines with their ancillary fees. So if you look at Jets, it was 32, 33 before the crisis. It fell down to 12.
Yep.
It surges back to 28. And as I've said on your program before, everyone was dumping on the Robin Hood millennials. And I said, no, they're pretty smart. You know, that's a heck of a trade when everyone on Wall Street wanted to jump out of a building over the airline industry. And David Portnoy, well, no, he was right on, you know, go long the Jets along with Miller. So Bill Miller. So I think that we have a chance here to go back to over $30, but we're going to have to get the TSA clearing more than 2 million people a day.
Okay.
Frank Holmes, always a pleasure to chat, sir. Have a good one. Thanks for coming on today.
All right, gentlemen. Take care. Happy investing.
All right. Walmart goes red on the session, down 91 cents and 146. Walmart, what do you got to do? Lucid over 50 bucks now in the 50 handle. Just lift and offers Rivian up 16 bucks here. This is one of these days where you kind of just keep an eye on that pre-market high, see if it can continue. But Lucid
to 50. Whoa!
I don't know where the circuit. I don't know when your peanuts. I don't know if you go to the stand now. You getting in line to buy the peanuts? I really have no idea here.
The gap fill, guys.
Yeah,
you were talking about
the gap fill. I think it's filled the gap now, and I think you maybe get a point or two over this, but I think you've run into that.
Mitchie, calling the top. That's my boy. That's my boy.
The guy from February.
That's market has memory.
Spencer. Since the day that stock gapped down there, every single trader that was watching this stock go to 65 has been waiting for it to come back into that gap zone.
Okay. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying, okay. I mean,
but now it's filled, right? And so now you got to be careful, because I don't see it having enough gas to get to 65, but that's just my call.
Happens. Interesting. All right. Let's do a reset here. The low, where's the gap? What gap are we looking at here? It was the top of the gap. 56. Oh, I got a gap from 53.94 to 56.08. Wow. Right here. You're looking at this little gap getting filled here. But mm-hmm. the true gap, Hanover, whoo, 56.08. Ah, we'll see what happens. But just folks, if you traded this, keep an eye on your pre-market high. See how it reacts there, because this thing is just, it's ripping.
All right. Eric Nans dropped us.
We love Eric.
Dropped us a Benjamin. He did it so Dennis could get a generator. So we appreciate that, Eric. We'll have to make sure Dennis gets himself a generator, because this is unacceptable. Unacceptable, Dennis, to not have a generator.
Thank you, Eric. I think, is that our all-time high?
Maybe in U.S. dollars, but not in terms of sheer quantity of currency. No, we've had people drop us, you know, thousands of rupees before.
Of loopies or whatever.
Anyway, hey, it's 8:53 here. Let's do a few minutes of ticker time. I want to make sure I didn't forget
ticker time
from our list. What else was on my list here?
Everyone wants to talk about Mara.
Yeah. Oh, yo, Joel, we talked about that at the close yesterday. Holy cow. And then it kept on going after hours and this morning.
What did I say? What did I say that when we were on the close?
You said you have no rules in your life except for one rule, which is you don't touch stocks that have things with the SEC. That's what you said.
Right. And then you had your step down seller here. I mean, this guy was guy, girl, gals, whatever. And then you had a little reprieve here at 56. But I looked at the monthlies and sometimes, or I looked at the dailies here and look at all those lows around 50. You had three lows around 50. What did it get to? And it almost got there, right? 50.07. So now you're getting a little bit of a bounce. So 50 is your support. You're only $2 away from there. Your high off the rebound has been 53. So 50 to 53, that's your early range. And what I also said about this is what, you know, we're not all looking at the quotes. We're not all looking at our screen or our phone the other time. There are a lot of people that came in, signed online at night, you know, and they're like, wait, this thing was at 65.70. Wait, just boom. And they hit the button. So we'll see. Pre-market low, that stands 50.07. See if we get back down there again today.
All right, let's look at Coinbase. A few people are mentioning that. It is down this morning with Bitcoin being lower. Wow, actually down substantially.
Yeah, now this is interesting because you hit it, had a nice run into earnings. They hit it, they fought it way back and got more than half of that move back. I'll just look at that earnings day low, that 320 low. And as long as you're above that, yeah, maybe we'll trade in a little bit of a range. Down but not out, got out there in the pre-market under 325. You took back half of the move. Today, if you get a rally, I mean, with Bitcoin down like this, unless it has a big turnaround, let's see, the bottom of yesterday's range, and this did this on earnings too, it filled the gap. The bottom of the range is 333.09, so if you're trying to sneak out there. And then the close, that was 345.36. That's going to, unless you get a big turnaround in Bitcoin, it's going to be hard for that to get back up to that area.
We got time for just a couple more tickets here. Okay, we can do PROG. This is Progenity, right, Matt Miller, I believe?
I think that's what this don't means. Ask me. Ask Contact 10.
Had a, you know, volume fell off a cliff here in the last couple of weeks. Had a few weeks there of just insane volume. But the price has held up, though.
Why is it up so much today?
Oh, that's a good question. I wasn't even looking at that chart. Wow, that's a good point. Yeah, I was looking at the daily. Why is it up so much today? Good question. I don't know.
It's swinging some shares too, right?
Yeah. You're right. Let me check a PR feed. See if we got anything on Progenity. Anything from yesterday after hours?
Yeah.
No, it looks like we had an insider buy.
Chris Kachi's saying that it's been a short squeeze leaderboard from Fintel for multiple weeks.
Okay, so, that's a reason. That's as good a reason as any.
Okay. Based on that, then I won't do any time.
Gamma squeeze. It's a gamma squeeze. Oh,
gamma squeeze in a $3.50 stock. I'll let you guys have your fun with this one. This is above my pay grade.
Fine. Do you want to look at yesterday's big winner? Speaking of squeezes, GGPI was your squeeze of the day yesterday.
Nah, I don't want to look at that one.
Oh, up again this morning. Shocker. What else we got here?
Let's find one that's not as crazy. Oh, you know what stock we haven't talked about in a long time and for good reason? Jumia. Have you seen that one, Joel? They had earnings out last night or this morning, and it has gotten
absolutely down goes Frazier.
Earnings were this morning. This stock has been just brutalized. Brutalized.
There has been buyers between 17 and 17.50 going back to the end of August. Will those buyers be there again? I don't know, but a lot of daily, you can see the couple spikes below there at the end of November or end of October, early November. You spent some time between 17 and 17.50 at the beginning of October. You did it in August. I mean, I'm not shorting it down here. If I did, I'd just see if the buyers are going to emerge. You did get a spike down close to this area, 17, 1707. That's really all I can give you on this one. If you're looking for a rally and you want to just try and sneak out at a gap, three lows, this actual low from yesterday is 1813. So that's only 40 cents away, the bottom of the range from yesterday. So that's possible. Also, the close, 1852, that'd be a better resistance number. So okay. That's what's going on.
Well, we'll do one more, not one that...
Look at Walmart, down $1.61. I mean, yeah. Come on, folks. What are you doing? What do they want from that?
Okay, hot take. You ready? This dip will be bought at the open.
Hot take from Spencer.
Will be bought at the open. Hey, here's one that off the beaten path. Whiting Petroleum, WLL.
Oh, Whiting Petroleum. Yeah. The old, look at that. They reorged and then they came back, right?
Yeah, right. Didn't they file for bankruptcy?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Nothing like a rally. There's someone out there at 70. They've been out there over the last couple sessions, closed 69.19. Someone patiently just selling on strength in the stock at 70. So that's your major resistance, 69.19 close. And I got a good area for on the downside. If you're trying to protect some profits in this, you've been riding this thing up since end of August at 40 bucks. You got a triple bottom at 66. Wow, this thing moves around pretty good on a daily basis. So 66 to 70, both good numbers on the upside and the down. I mean, it's actually a little bit higher. I see 70.59, 70.23. But just the way 69.92, just like someone's, they want their average price to be 70. Spoos go red. Mm-hmm. Spoos are down to buck. We're at a triple close area, little left off the retail sales. Spire kind of seems a little bit tired, but we'll see. We'll see what happens when the liquidity comes in at 9:30.
All right, it is 9 o'clock. Joel's gonna hop off. We're gonna hop off as well. Look, we made it through the show. No triple D.
That was kind of fun.
I'm not making any promises about tomorrow. I don't know if
I hope he gets his power. I hope he gets it back before the open.
I mean, he's probably cold, right? Yeah, it's cold up there.
Yeah.
Without power.
Yeah. Okay. Everyone have a good day. We'll see you later on.
Right, Joel, catch you later. Everyone live trading with Benzinga's going live in a few moments here. We'll hop off the stream, redirect to that stream. As a reminder, as the graphic says in the bottom of the corner, the Benzinga Bootcamp, the last one of the year, is this Saturday, 9 to 5. The link is right there on the screen, BenzingaBootcamp.com. Okay. Full day of trading, instruction, education, charts, technicals, fundamentals all day. Check it out, BenzingaBootcamp.com. Last one of the year this Saturday. All right, I'll wrap up this show. Please remember, all the information from our show meant to be used as informational purposes, not for investing or trading advice. Thanks to our guest, Frank Holmes. Thanks to all of you in our chat. Thanks, Eric, for that amazing super chat. We appreciate that very, very much. Please, the rest of you, you don't have to drop a super chat, but you do have to hit the like button. That's like the least you could do. Hit that like for alpha, for winning ideas, and for losing ideas. They can't all be winners, but that's the way it goes. All right, live trading with Benzinga, Mitch, Ryan, Junaid. I'll try to stop by for a few, going live right now.
Did you know nearly all stock price changes of 10% or more result from a single news headline? That's right. News headlines have a unique ability to drive stock prices up or down. These news catalysts create trading opportunities every day. All you need is a little help to reach out and take them. And if you're looking to grow your portfolio, it doesn't matter if your investment budget is small or big. An easy-to-read stream of news headlines will increase your opportunities to profit from price changes in the stock market, consolidate a knowledge-based investment strategy, and grow your portfolio. All you need is Benzinga Pro and its powerful news alerts, price tracking, and portfolio monitoring to make a positive change in your trading performance. We've already helped thousands of retail traders across the world, and they could not be happier. Increase your market knowledge, boost your exposure to big movers, and make informed trades before major price changes. The opportunities are all around you. Subscribe now, and we'll skyrocket your portfolio today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.